Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Well, it's coming. Right for us. Right for us.
Hampton. Dan Hampton.
Guys, I can't take it.
It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, Cuss.
Hey, what's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Cut down, Bears.
This is the Chevy Hampton OB Show with Cuss.
Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
On the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
She is a final. Bears 37, the Rams 13. Hampton OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Continuing 312-981-7200. That is the phone number. That is the text line. Would love to hear from you today. 312-981-7200. Bears are 4-5. Guys, let's kick it off here with the Mueller Dealership's game-changing moment, brought to you by the Mueller family of dealerships in Highland Park, Gurnee, Hoffman Estates, and Merrillville. Hamp, you want to take this one? And good afternoon, my friend.
Pleasure to be here today, guys. We're scratching our head. Look, you know, and I know, this is not the Ram team everybody ever advertised. This was a team that was severely lacking in a lot of different ways, and we'll talk about it over the next 3 hours. But, hey, you can only play who they put on the field, and I got to tell you, is this an astonishing win? Maybe not. Was it a competent win? I don't know. All I can tell you is, how about solid, Kaz? Let me just say this. This is a win on the road, back-to-back road game, short week coming off of San Diego. But most importantly, think about it. We played without our best defensive player. Pernell McPhee didn't even make the trip. We're playing without the so-called heart and soul of the offense, Matt Forte. 7 to 8 rookies made huge contributions today. But most importantly, Jay Cutler is now. Jay Cutler is now. Get ready, folks. The best quarterback in the NFC North.
He might be. You know, last week I made the crazy statement that I thought he was in the top five. He's climbed above a guy that I had in the top two, and that is Aaron Rodgers. And truly, the point with Aaron Rodgers right now, and keep in mind now, Bears are 4-5. The Packers, who are sitting at 6-2 and have lost two in a row, are looking at their third loss in a row. They're trailing Detroit by 8. With 50 minute 30 to go. So
down to 59, yeah. 18-10.
Yeah, 18-10. So I mean, all of a sudden, the Packers could lose 3 in a row. Bears sitting at 4-5. And look, Denver, they're not the Denver team that was 6-0 2 weeks ago either. This is a team that's struggling as well. So hey, all of a sudden, you know, Hamp, move over because I want to climb on that bandwagon.
I told you those seats on that Cutler bandwagon are plush.
Well, he's in the top four now. Top four in the NFL at quarterback.
Is there room for OB at the wheel? That's what I want to know.
Well, we got to find out.
All right. We're talking about, excuse me. We're talking about the Mike Mueller Auto Dealer Group game-changing moment.
Yeah, why don't you take that, OB? Lead us in with the Mueller game changer.
Yeah, and I think there's no question about it. It had to be when it was just under, a little under 12 minutes, and Cutler hits Miller, our backup tight end, and he runs, and nobody can catch him. He runs 87 yards for a touchdown. They opened up. They scored on us. Bang, in seconds we go back on a magnificent throw by Cutler, a great run, and a great block by Jeffrey to Spring Miller. And who the hell ever would have thought Zach Miller could run 87 yards without somebody running him down? But it happened. And there's a couple other interesting things along the way. The Bears' game plan offensively was dialed in. You couldn't get it any better. They played great. The offensive line, they stood up against a good D-line in St. Louis, and they came to play, and they did the job. And what is also interesting, Gurley, the leading running back in the National Football League, had 12 attempts for 45 yards. Langford, our running back, had 20 attempts for 73. Now, here's the difference. Langford, 7 receptions, 109 yards. Gurley, 3 receptions, 44 yards. So Who was the better back today? By far. Who was the better football team on both sides of the ball? The Bears. There was no question about it. And they were 4-4. We were 3-5, and we went down into their place, St. Louis, and we took them apart. And I want to say kudos to the Bears coaching staff, especially offensively, and especially the Gase. I've been a little hard on them, which rightfully so, but I'll tell you what, he came up with the right deal today. And Green Bay, folks, losing at home to Detroit, that has to be one of the worst defeats in the last several decades.
Well, they're still playing, but
Dan had mentioned that Detroit hasn't won in Green Bay the last 27 times. So I would equate that to be last 27 years.
Something like that.
I mean, and especially Green Bay 6-2 and Detroit. I mean, they can't even get arrested in Detroit. And they go into Green Bay and put it to them for 60 minutes. I'll tell you what. Listen, we've got Denver coming in here next week. And then after you take a look at Denver, then we've got to go Thanksgiving to Green Bay. Then after that, you got to take, folks, take a look at the schedule of the teams we got to play. Who's to say if they can bring that attitude and that ability and that coaching for the next, what, seven games? Who's to say we will, who's to say we're out of it?
You were not.
From what I saw today.
And think about it, Philadelphia, Green Bay falling apart. I mean, a lot of teams everybody projected. Dallas loses again. The Giants will probably lose today. I'm just saying, you're never out of it until it's over. And your point is dead on. But, you know, walking down the hall, guys, and again, I you know, cowards and losers live in the past, right, Cause?
Yes.
I'm still complaining about the stupid fake punt in Detroit that cost us that game. We had a 2-score lead. And then what about the punt return against Minnesota that ultimately, you know, was the backbreaker? So two plays on special teams have kept us, and everybody can make this, you know, the semantics, but I'm just saying, we're two stupid punt return plays away from being 6-3.
Well, you know what they did today? Man, I was talking about playing aggressive. Okay, what I mean, my God, we before last week we were what, 1-2 games, 2-4, we're 3-5. You have nothing to lose, and the sin would have been, the real sin in this coaching game, in this game of football, would have been if they waited till the 14th or 15th game to find out what they've got on that football team and to be aggressive. They were aggressive today. Great game calling again. And I'll tell you what, I couldn't be happier, guys. That was a great performance by everybody. Kudos to the Bears organization.
And how about
finally?
Yes, and Vic Fangio. Cause the NFL, it's crazy. One game, you look great. The next game, you get taken down. He has allowed one touchdown per game the last three games. One defensive touchdown allowed the last three games. That's goofy good.
Yep.
It's unbelievably good, especially when you, like I said, McPhee didn't even make the trip. We had a bunch of bodies out there, and Todd Gurley, as you said, was the flamethrower of
he's
the league, and
the
he did nothing.
He's the running back of the league so far until today.
Well, and he's still, look, the Bears got up early on him, never relinquished the lead, and so your featured running back isn't going to get the rock when you're chasing. And Nick Foles is just, he is, I'm trying to think of Moses Moreno bad.
He was
awful quarterback.
Today.
He is just horrendous. Only guy maybe close to him is the butt fumbler, Mark Sanchez, who throws a pick inside the 10 against the Dolphins, and they ended up losing by a point. So, yeah, keep in mind, though, the Packers still have 45 seconds left in that game, but they are trailing 18-10.
You know what, Glenn, you're talking about Foles. In watching St. Louis, I am wondering, how is it that they won four games? How
defense.
Is that possible with that guy at quarterback? And you're telling me the backups are worse than he is? Slow, methodical. My God, he couldn't hit a bull in the backside with a scatter gun from 10 feet.
They got some quality.
He is. That guy is one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen.
Yeah, he had a quarterback rating of 53 today. Jay Cutler maxed out at 151. on his quarterback rating. Which
I believe 158
is
as high as you can go, right?
Yeah, it's as good as you can get as a NFL quarterback. Thus, I'm putting him in the top three in the league now.
Listen, Nick Foles was awful today, but I mean, this is a guy that also put up 34 against the Seahawks earlier in the year. He's had some great.
He didn't actually, though. You had a kickoff return and a punt return in that game.
Right,
so
don't skew
the facts here. He hasn't been very solid since he went to St. Louis.
Wait a minute, Mark. You're telling me you looked at that football game today? You're telling me this guy?
I'm just trying to give
a starting quarterback.
He was great as an Eagle, OB.
For one year.
Other thing.
But he got traded.
Gentlemen, one other thing. The word stupid. Okay? I think that has to come into play. Fisher, head coach over there, I love the kid. I think he's been a fine coach. He's been doing this for, 17, 18 years now?
Long time.
But I am going to tell you what, Dan, when you have penalty after penalty after penalty, you know what, folks? I don't think I know. It's a reflection on coaching. That's exactly what it is. They killed themselves. They shot themselves in the foot because of the penalties. That is poor coaching. And you tell me that you're middle or late third quarter or early fourth quarter and you're going backwards with this quarterback and you don't have enough faith in whoever the back is to bring him in and have him play and see what he can do? You got to be kidding me. Coaching staff for St. Louis. F/stupid.
We'll take it. Trust is
that an FS? Yes.
That is I think that's an F minus. Trust is everything. It's golden for your insurance needs. I know those grades, by the way. For your insurance needs, it's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovic, jeffvuk.com, serving our area for 37 years. Nationwide is on your side, jeffvuk.com. It's 312-981-7200. When we come back, we'll give you who brought it, and there are some strong candidates on that. Love to hear from you. Are the Bears right there for you as far as right in that playoff race? 312-981-7200. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Mason, and that should do it. It will. The Bears win 37-13.
Words you did not expect to hear today. The Bears 37-13. That was Andrew Catalan. Editor Drew Catalan, Steve Tasker, Steve Berline were on the call today. I am Mark Carman. It's Hampton OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. The Detroit Lions are doing their very best to get me fired because somebody of note on the show who they won't fire said that the game was over. So I think I could go down because the Packers have just recovered an onside kick and they have the football with 30 seconds to go.
What would be the initials of that gentleman?
I think it would be an O and a B. But
No. Of the guy that will be gone if this happens.
It would be an M and a C.
M-C. Well,
I'd like to point out one thing here. You know, we've been talking about Cutler for quite some time, and rightly so. Totally and completely different quarterback. Physically, mentally, his approach to the game. I mean, he's right on. And what backs that up is his average pass per play in attempts. The Rams, Foles, 5.0. That's the beginning and down of pathetic. Let me say that again.
Yeah.
5.0, that's the beginning of pathetic. Cutler.
And disgusting.
9.4 yards. Folks, when you're in this business and you have a quarterback that can average 9.4 yards passing, that is huge. That is giant. And that's what Cutler has brought. He's brought stableness to the position, which was completely gone since all the other years he was here. He's spot on with his passes, and I think him and Gase are really starting to sparkle. And what I saw today, because we went down into St. Louis, and nobody picked the Bears to win. They went down there, and they took it right to them. They got shot on. They shot right back at them. So what I see now in 1 week, a philosophy that I like to see, I want to see him move the ball, be aggressive offensively, and defensively go after people. And I hope they don't let up on that.
Who brought it today? Sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. You know what to bring, Hamp. I mean, you were You've been praising Cutler for years now.
You got to tip the cap, give him his due. You know, 19 of 24, three touchdowns. I mean, those are goofy good numbers. The one thing, I don't want to just say this is the only game he's brought it, because he has actually played at a tremendously high level all year. The, you know, it,
top
go
four
way back,
every quarterbacks game. In the National Football League.
Every
right
game.
You know, go back to the Arizona game. Okay, he threw that pick. That's when Martellus Bennett fainted like he was going to, you know, break out. He didn't, and Cutler threw it, and whatever. Okay, I'm just saying, we can go back and with a fine-tooth comb and nitpick this thing, but I'm just saying, with the players that he has playing around him, you got to think that, man, this guy is playing as well as any quarterback in all. Everybody's talking about Andy Dalton. Well, he's got A.J. Green and this guy and that. I mean, all these all-pros. Look what Jay Cutler, and again, today, without the heart and soul, Matt Forte missing his second game. And by the way, Mr. Forte, here's your hat. What's your hurry? I'm telling you, this kid, Jeremy Langford, is making the return of Matt Forte look like a stretch next year, guys.
Kudos to Pace, our general manager. He's the one that drafted him.
Yep.
As opposed to our last two general managers who couldn't pick somebody to play to start in the National Football League for the Bears. Well, whatever.
Yeah, speaking of that, Phil Emery's number one pick, Shea McClellan was back out today, blowing the first two coverages on pass plays that enabled the Rams to go right down the field like a machine. Foles looks pretty good when somebody blows coverages, right? Well, that's all Shea McClellan's fault. But finally, they got him woke up and kind of staggering over into the right vicinity, and then obviously the Ram offense did not score another.
The drought is over, boys. The Detroit Lions hang on to beat the Packers 18-16 is the final. Wow. Packers got it to the 37-yard line with 8 seconds to go, and clearly they did not. I repeat, they did not make the field goal.
First time in 24 years that the Detroit Lions have gone into Lambeau Field and beaten the Green Bay Packers. 24 years, which is not quite as long as it's been since the Cubs won a World Series, but that's a pretty long time. 13 touchdowns on the year for Jay Cutler, 5 interceptions. I mean, that is a ratio you can feel pretty good about, amongst a million other things that he's doing.
Yeah, getting back to our game, and one of the things you're starting to see, I mean, folks, if you go around, I mean, there's sprint outs and there's bootlegs and teams, and I've been screaming about this for years. Instead of letting Cutler sit back there like a cigar store Indian and getting killed, he's got the ability to move and he's got the ability to throw with accuracy. And what you saw today, you saw some sprint outs, you saw some bootlegs, and my God, Peyton Manning in Denver, he runs bootlegs and sprint outs, and he just turned 50. Or 60, whatever he did.
By the way, the Indian Nation is flooding our phone banks right now with that politically incorrect reference.
312-981 if you want to.
Hey, but one last thing. You know, the numbers of this game, other than Jay Cutler being very good, mean virtually nothing, because the game, it really got out of control pretty early. The Bears had this thing, you know, a 2-score lead going into, you know, the latter stages of the second quarter. But all those things being, you know, we can nitpick it. We were only 25% on third down, 3 of 12. Got to get better at that. Got to be better at that if we want to beat Peyton Manning next weekend and the Denver Broncos and their number one defense. But, guys, all in all, think about this, how this offense has not only solidified but has started to assert itself. Now, remember, we played Phillip Rivers last week on Monday night, and he was the reigning, you know, passing yard each game.
Number one offense in the league.
And you know, by hook and crook, I mean, by the end of the game, everybody knew which offense was more dynamic. It was the Bears. And now today, going into St. Louis, oh, Todd Gurley, and oh, they this. Hey, you know, by the third quarter, everybody wanted this thing to be over with. It was a stink bomb, and it wasn't, you know, the Bears being given the game. The Bears earned it in the first half. So, guys, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff. And you're talking about Adam Pace. How about Gase? Adam Gase.
Close enough, Hamp.
Offensive coordinator.
Ryan Pace is the general manager. Adam
right.
Gase, the offensive coordinator. there's been a lot of scuttlebutt. Oh, well, he's going to get a head coaching job, blah, blah, blah. You know, don't count out Vic Fangio. Like I said, allowing one touchdown a week in this league, that's pretty darn good with the crew he's got. But I'm just saying, after Cutler has put so many coaches in body bags, I mean, finally, this guy, they're on the same wavelength. And, it's a beautiful thing
to see. Is it, though, really? I mean, is this John Fox or is this Adam Gase? Because what I see is, you know, Fox came in and approached Cutler a lot differently than any of the previous head coaches and really kind of set the stage that, look, I'm in charge. You're going to do it my way. And if you do it my way, kid, you're going to be successful.
You know,
and I think, you know, you got to give some credit. You know, and Ed, you've been big on John Fox, and yeah. I got to tip my cap to you. You're spot on so far with him as far as that goes.
It's all the above. You know, they're starting to learn. The bad thing about this would be, and I'll get off, the bad thing here about this is if this coaching staff didn't grow and didn't learn from their mistakes and try to relate to their players from week to week to week, we wouldn't be where we are today. So the coaches have grown and the players have grown right with them. That's what it looks like to me.
And that's what John Fox has done when he's been in previous stops. He started slow and then he's run off wins. And I didn't think that was going to be possible here, but it looks like it very well may be. The St. Louis Rams also, by the way, came in. They were sixth in the NFL, giving up 18 points per game, right? The Bears more than doubled that, which is pretty impressive. 312-981-7200. That is the phone number. That is the text line. 312-981-7200. We'll hear from Cutler and Fox in the 4 o'clock hour. Coming up next, we've got the defensive star of the game and the leading tackler today may surprise you. This is Hamp NOB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz.
Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com
on 720 WGN.
With you till 6 o'clock on 720 WGN. My name is Mark Carman, Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Just getting in the car, just getting home, weren't watching the game. 37-13, the Bears over the St. Louis Rams. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. Kind of a new reality right now that the Bears are sniffing around the playoffs. I don't know. Anything seems possible at this point. The defensive star of the game is brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. OB, why don't you take that one?
All right. Defensive star, there's no question about it, is Fangio. By the way, he's our defensive coordinator. What this guy has done through 9 games is remarkable. A new coaching staff coming in, new players, free agents.
Completely new scheme.
Oh, my God, absolutely. From a 4-3 to a 3-4. And it's kept, if we could put some points on the board, our record would be a lot better. But anyway, and what he's done, there's basics in this, no matter if it's a 3-4 or 4-3. You have containment, you have force, and fill. We went up against probably the best running back in football. Probably, totally, completely the best running back. He couldn't find a place to go. Containment, force, and fill. We were in the gaps. His blitzes are spot on. The different defenses they call, he's done a magnificent job all year long. Even though we've had this losing record, he has been the shining knight of coaches for the Bears. Defensive coordinator Fangio, without a doubt, going down into St. Louis and taking those people down, giving up basically nothing, was a great job. He was the star.
And Willie Young had a big day, forcing 3 holding calls. He
had a sack, too.
And he had an interception. It was a very entertaining return for about 40 yards. But you also have to throw Tracy Porter in there. Tracy Porter's making an awful lot of great breaks on the ball. And you know what? Because as a defensive lineman, there was, you know, you're fighting your guts out to get to the quarterback, and the ball's off, you turn, and you see the receiver in a position to catch the ball unimpeded by the defense. It was great when our corners were emboldened and they start making breaks on the ball. That means the quarterback is going to hold it just a little bit. It all starts to work together. So there's a lot of good stuff happening on that defense.
Yes, and that is true. The corners have picked up their play. They started out really poorly, and really in the last 2 weeks, They're squeezing down. They're more confident. But part of it is they are getting pressure on the quarterback. So a defensive back can be bolder because he knows he doesn't have to cover for 4 seconds. It is, hey, squeeze a little bit because we're going to get pressure and I might be able to make a play.
The one thing you saw today and last week, you see a little bit by little bit, our defensive backs, guys, you saw it a little bit more today, this afternoon. There's a thing called jumping the route. And what Fangio has done with the front three, the four line, the D-backs, he has put such a mixture together. I always want to see him be a little bit more aggressive, but that's me. But now what you see him starting to gain confidence from week to week. I think Dan had mentioned, like, we've only given up one touchdown a game the last three games. We haven't given up a lot of anything. So what I think is happening here is you're seeing our strong weak safeties, our cornerbacks, our nickelback, they're getting a little braver, a little smarter. And what they do, when you get like that, you see great defensive backs, they jump the route. They jump the route. All week they're paying attention in class and going out on the field and practicing out on the field. And that's the one thing that I have noticed is our D-backs all across the board, gentlemen, have gotten a lot smarter and a lot better, and I think that's because of coaching.
312-981-7200. Has your whole view of the season changed? Love to hear from you. That's the phone line. That's the text line. 312-981-7200. And the other thing, and I know that you guys don't love him, and that's because he's just not that great of a football player, but Shay McClellan actually did lead the Bears in tackles today with 8, 6 of them solo, and he did have the pile jumper.
The tackle made 8 yards down the field, Mark. All right. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's give it up for the 8-yard tackle. When the guy trips and he falls on him.
He did have the tackle and the strip and the recovery. Can we give him an ounce of credit for that?
I'll give him credit on that one. That was an outstanding play.
When he made contact, though.
Yeah, but that was because he waited before he took a good angle to strip.
Mark, what I think.
He checked with
what
his attorney to make sure he was healthy.
I'm just reading
what I think the other two gentlemen are trying to tell you.
Yeah.
When you're playing a linebacker, an inside linebacker, when you make those plays at the line or behind the line of scrimmage.
That's good.
That's when they can talk about you in a great manner, not 5, 6, 7 yards down the field.
OB, I'm just
trying to explain something to you.
And I understand, and I'm listening, and I'm not sitting here with holding up the flag of the Shay McClellan fan club, but I am pointing out.
Just be grateful Crosby missed the field goal. That's all you should be thankful for, Mark.
I am thankful for that.
Todd Gurley only carried the ball 12 times, and look, for being the
44 yards, was it?
45. But for being the premier running back, and a lot of it had to do with the fact that Jay Cutler was perfect and, you know, just kept going and scoring. But the truth is, Gurley, I mean, St. Louis did a lot of, you said it, Ed, their game plan, everything about what they did today was just capital D-U-M-B.
Stupid.
Guys, didn't it look like they expected just to mow us down? And they really weren't prepared mentally and physically to go to war. I mean, really, it was almost like we shocked them. And you could probably take that a lot of different ways. But, you know, I remember all this hype going up. Oh, their defensive line. We can't block them. Oh, the best running back in the game, little AP. Oh, they're just a player or two away from being a dominant I didn't see a whole lot of that today. I'm telling you.
Saw a lot of give up.
They
gave up a
lot. Nice looking team.
Right.
That went out there and played pretty stupid football and was penalized.
Poor game coached offensively and defensively by the St. Louis coaches. There is no question about it. And we took advantage of their stupidity. Thank you.
We're going to hear from the Bears winning coach and the Bears quarterback, Jay Cutler, to start the 4 o'clock hour. And by the way, Kaz, you shouldn't be chirping at me because you were awful today. You were absolutely terrible.
And, what are you talking about?
You're about to get cut. Your guy, Mariani / Kaz.
Oh.
He was
third fumble of the year.
I just never was comfortable returning punts. I
mean, you were terrible.
I just want to go on record to say that.
you were flat out brutal.
I can do a lot of things, but just punts, you know, make me nervous.
Clearly.
Yeah. Before we go to break, I want to tell you something. I was sitting there the first half and the second half just thinking to myself, and I mentioned to the guys, Foles, I don't recall. I mean, a starter, and this guy has been a starter, be that bad
be that bad.
And horrible
he
arm strength.
He has no ability to move left or right. His arm motion, he drags his arm all the way back and down, and by the time he releases the ball, no wonder we're jumping on their receivers. Throwing high, he has no accuracy. I mean, the guy was just awful.
He
just
was?
Awful. And for Fisher, not late in the third or fourth quarter to go to the backup, my God, how bad could the backup be?
Fair point, but I don't. At that point, the game was
That's
pretty
why
much.
I said
was it
the coaching
Suttenberger?
Over there was stupid.
I mean, he's pretty solid. The backup, he started a bit for him at one point.
Glenn, you look at what that guy did.
No, it was Suttenberger. I mean, it's the backup
Zach
is
Zach Mettenberger's in Tennessee.
Oh, is he in Tennessee now? Okay, I'm wrong. He
fact
was,
of the
wasn't
matter
he
is,
in,
it's Case Keenum.
Oh no, well that's the same guy. They're terrible.
The fact of the matter is, what they had obviously a plan to go nowhere, and this guy, I cannot believe that Fisher, and I mean I can't believe what he did today. I mean it was just god awful. That's god awful.
Yeah.
And you see the empty seats in the stadium.
Plenty of them. But, of course, they're probably moving to Los Angeles, so who knows about that?
Everybody's moving to Los Angeles.
Everyone's going to Oakland and San Diego and the Rams, and who else knows is going to L.A. All right, let's get into the newsroom coming back quick here, and then we'll hear from John Fox and Jay Cutler and you. 312-981-7200. It's Hamp and OB with Kaz. We are presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears beat the Rams 37-13. Go Bears, 4-5. The Denver Broncos up next at Soldier Field. We, of course, will be with you next Sunday and then Thursday night when they play the Packers on Thanksgiving. Packers lost today at home for the first time in 24 years to the Detroit Lions, unbelievably. Before we get to the locker room interviews, which are sponsored by Motorworks, nobody works like Motorworks to earn your business. Guys, let's give a little bit of credit to Zach Miller, who takes an 87-yard jaunt to the house.
3-yard hitch and goes 87 yards.
I mean, unbelievable. And he had the touchdown last week against the Chargers when you absolutely needed it.
Game winner.
Unbelievable catch. And then he gets, you know, another beautiful play call.
He has two touchdowns today, too.
A beautiful play call by Adam Gase, and he gets himself in the end zone again. But I think, Hamp, what you love about him is that this guy, whenever he catches it, he's going to get every yard that he possibly can.
On face value, you'd say he's just a journeyman. But because of all the obstacles he's had to deal with the injuries, you know, breaking his foot, this, that, blah, blah, blah.
Knee, you name it. He's
I
got to
tell you, the kid, I mean, Marty Bennett better be careful. You know, we're going with a lot of two tight end sets. We started the game with it today. You know, two tight ends, two wides, and there's a reason. They like what he can do. They like how he uncovers. He gets separation. And we've talked about
Bennett
this,
Bennett is just a post-up guy now. He can't separate from the coverage.
He
now,
can't
he's
run
a big
away
body,
from anybody.
But he can't get separation.
But the old maxim, OB, is when there's two defenders, you split them. He did. Both of the defenders kind of flinched and went to the ground. Marty Bennett would probably went to the ground, too, thinking he was going to absorb a blow. But he stayed on his feet, split him, and outran the secondary of the Rams to the end zone. Yeah. It was coming off, you know, that fourth quarter catch and then the play, no question about it. He was the offensive player of the day today.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'll tell you, the bottom line is, you know, the kid hadn't caught a pass or a touchdown in, what, 4 years? And obviously he had his hand on the doorknob of going out and never coming back to another football team. And I'm going to tell you what, kudos to this kid. Kudos to him to fight and do whatever he could to stay in the National Football League and then finally to have, I'm not going to say a breakthrough game, but finally shows that, hey, guys, I'm a legitimate target. I'm 6'4", I'm 250, and I can flat out run. So play me more. And I think that was a great thing, again, for a kid going out the door. Now, quickly here, gentlemen, and your listeners, Denver's coming in here, okay? And the thing about Denver, another good defensive team. I mean, they come with some blitzes, and they get after you. I mean, they really do. But this is, you know, putting a carriage in front of the horse. We're at home, and let's finally, at home, take care of business one time in the last decade or 15 years. They come in and we beat them. Then we go to Green Bay, which is, Glenn, as you were saying, they've proven they could be beat. Then we're at home against San Francisco. Then we're at home against Washington. Then we're at Minnesota and Tampa Bay. Folks, if we can get by Denver and these kids really start to believe in themselves, who knows what could happen the back half of this season, which I never thought was possible the way we started out. But then again, kudos to the coaching staff. They kept them in. They let them, didn't let them find foxholes to jump into or whatever have you. Just a damn good job all the way around.
It really is.
I'm really proud.
And you know what, Cos? All the cliches that these coaches, you know, they were shop-worn cliches when they showed up. But the team's buying in. They are buying in. And I got to tell you.
Bingo.
I'm tickled to death that the arrow not only is pointed up, but, man, it's very, very rigid.
And the rest of the NFL's arrows, with the exception of, you know, New England and Carolina, are all pointing down. So part of this, too, is that the NFC North, the front runners, Minnesota and Green Bay, are coming back and kind of fading back to the Bears. So and you're right, Ed, anything's possible.
Yeah,
but it starts with you got to take care of business here, and you've got a great opportunity to go up to Lambeau Field and give
on
it to the Packers, which hasn't been done in a long time.
Right, and the way the schedule is playing out here, guys, and from what we see here, and I'm sure a lot of fans out there are starting to believe, and, you know, could this be true? Could we, game after game, get there and get into the playoffs? Love to see it.
Let's get to John Fox. The 4 o'clock hour start of it, sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. The head coach of the Chicago Bears after yet another victory today down in St. Louis.
All right, no injuries to report. You got any questions?
What changed after the first series? It looked like your defense was different the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think, you know, not that it's so much different. I can't really explain it. We did start slow without a doubt. And, you know, our offense did a good job of getting an explosive play, you know, early to answer. And then, you know, I thought we settled in pretty well.
You talk about the growth of the defense every week to week. It seems like getting better.
Yeah, I think our football team's growing. You know, I think it's a new system, a lot of new players, you know, as far as relating to coaches relating to players. We're starting to know our football team better. It's changed, you know, over 9 weeks quite a bit. And, you know, as I mentioned, you know, last week, as far as a halfway point, the way we're trending, you know, I like the way the guys are going about their business, and they showed that today.
How have you guys been able to unlock the tackle over the last, you know, two games? Touchdown.
You know, the guy's prepared really hard, and you know, I think he's improved. I think Jay's gotten more comfortable with him. I think the staff's gotten more comfortable in calling some of his numbers, as far or even personnel groups, or he's is in the game with Marty. You know, and he's done pretty well over the last couple of weeks.
Offense put up big numbers again today. What was your impressions of that unit?
Well, I think, you know, coming in, you know, it was a pretty stingy defense that we played against today. Statistically, at the halfway point, I know Jeff and his staff are terrific coaches and do a great job. And, you know, we were here a year ago with another team, and they handled us pretty well. But I thought our guys, you know, played a good football game, especially on that side of the ball.
A lot of people will be surprised at this score, how lopsided it was. What was your... understand that? Were you surprised
about
how thorough this was?
Yeah, I've been on both sides of many of these. You know, I think, you know, kind of went our way. I think our guys tilted it in our favor, you know, in their performance. And sometimes they happen like that. It's not really common, but it does happen.
Were you sensed during the week at all with your defensive guys? People getting kind of tired of hearing about gee whiz, Todd Gurley. Did guys get tired of hearing that?
Yeah, I mean, again, you don't fear anybody. You respect everybody. And you know, I think when they watch the tape, you know, he's earned that. And I don't think that's really the mindset. I just think they prepared hard. We played good team defense. And anytime you run or pass the ball, it's fits. Guys taking care of their responsibility. And I thought we're getting better at that.
Sack earlier again. Big touchdowns in the game. Talk about his progress.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, we saw a little bit of film on a year ago in camp, early season. He's got been injured. You know, we liked what we saw. We liked his makeup. We had coaches that knew of him, were close to people that had been with him. You know, he fits, you know, our mold. And, you know, he's needed to stay healthy, and he has. You know, so he's been a big, good producer, and I think he's earning that production as we go. You know, without watching the tape, it's really hard. Really liked one of his audibles on a third down play. He continues to kind of amaze me. I'm not getting into that. You know, he kind of ceases to amaze me, just, you know, his growth and what we're doing, how hard he works at it. And then obviously we're all evaluated on how we execute on Sundays. So, you know, it's up there. You know, I think, you know, it was one of our better games as a team.
So there you go, John Fox out in St. Louis after the game today.
Obviously has a line tapping our program here because he repeated exactly what we've been talking about.
Exactly. We were sitting there, folks.
You just got done saying it.
We just got done saying exactly, and he gets up there.
And he gets $6 million to do what he's done.
and what, we get $6?
Yeah.
We got to talk to the Castro about that.
We got to split it with Mark, too. That's the tougher part.
Don't forget the pizza. Geno's East was coming strong today, and it was outstanding with the Marconi Jardiniere all over.
Well, I got to tell you, Mark, I am a huge Marconi fan now. You turned me on to it, finally.
It's a big-time move, and we'll have our Marconi winner later in the program. All right, quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll hear from Jay Cutler. Was it his best game of the year? I don't know. He's had a lot of good games, but it was a phenomenal day for Cutler. Weather in the first 5 minutes. Watch Chicago's first weather report at 10 p.m. with Tom Skilling. Weeknights on WGN-TV News at 10. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Hey. Looking for you, too. 312-981-7200 on 720 WGN.
Touchdown, Bears!
The Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OP Show with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, Bears 37, the Rams 13, Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. But without further ado, let us get to the, well, at least one of the stars of the hour. That's Jay Cutler.
He's the star of the hour. Mark, you made him the MVP of the season so far.
He has been their MVP.
I agree. I agree with you.
19 to 24 today, 258 yards, three touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 151. Here is Cutty after the Bears win.
Jay, how'd you feel like Adam had control of the game there, the way he kind of balanced things out?
We knew coming into it, it's an unbelievable defense. Their pass rush, two corners are excellent. Safeties come down and fill the holes. So kind of wish them to control the game with formation stuff, could try to get the ball out quick. We knew we had to run the ball consistently and efficiently to be able to compete with these guys. And we just got some big plays. Guys on the outside making plays, offensive line, you know, blocking the front and then blocking downfield. Made my life easy.
Did it become a confidence thing once you guys had that first quarter for a couple big plays? And then how did you explain that it was dominant?
Yeah, defense gave us some short fields, you know, there at the end. I thought defense really, they dominated the game. We could have finished a little bit better in some areas. But like you said, I mean, Zach with the long one, and then you come back a couple of series later and Jeremy rips off a long one. You know things are going well whenever you get some of those easy ones.
Can you dissect Miller, great call, obviously, but surprised you outright everybody?
Yes, I think that's the surprising part. Wasn't anything to it. Quick out, and we run him all the time. He busted it back inside, broke a tackle, and then outran, I think, 22 when it was starting corners. Guy had an angle on him. He made a good move and finished it. I mean, that's what we got to we've been preaching more and more of that. It's hard to go, especially a defense like that, 10 yards a clip. It's hard to do that against guys like this team. So to rip off some big ones like that, some one and done was nice.
On the screen for a touchdown, I think Kyle was banged up right in front of you. Guys were talking while the play was going on.
Yeah.
Are you telling them east of the 20, east of the 15?
I dumped it, and they blitzed there, so I knew we had a good play if we could just get rid of it. Dumped it to him, and Kyle just, you know, like you said, right at my feet, and the ref came over, and I was checking for flags, and I looked down at Kyle, And I was like, "You good?" And I look up, and I was like, "I think the ref's in." I go, "Wow," because I mean, he was gone. And I looked down. Kyle was like, "We got to get up, man. We got to go." So great effort by Jeremy, obviously finishing the play, blocking downfield. Great call by Adam. You know, dial that up at the right time.
How important is the screen game to this offense, and how much have you guys continued to push just to make sure the timing is the way it needs to be for a play like that to hit?
Yeah, I mean, we've had days where it's not that great, but, I mean, we keep fighting through it. We missed a couple out there today that I think would have been big plays. But if you get those for 80 and some of those chunk plays from time to time, it kind of makes it worth it. You know, if you go 2-2-2 and then you rip one for 40, you know, you're doing things right.
Chuck, I'm seeing Zach break it in the open when you've got open field. Did you consider putting another gear, or what happened there?
I was top gear there. I was already in top gear. I saw 26 coming. I thought maybe give him a stiff arm and keep going, but I was like, I think we're gonna run out of gas here pretty soon, so I just got down.
Did you look at the board?
I'm not that talented, no.
How does this one compare to the other
The game?
Yeah.
I think offense. I mean, I don't feel like I did that much because I didn't do that much. I thought offensive line did a great job controlling the ball in the second half. The guys on the outside make some big plays because against a front like that and a secondary like that, it's very rarely are you going to get some chunk plays like that. I think they'd only given up a couple past 25 yards all year long. So you got to give guys on the outside credit. They didn't back away, and the guys up front, we knew it was going to be a physical game against a really talented team, and They fought all game.
There you go, Jay Cutler, after the game today. Cutty, again, incredible. Trumaine Johnson is the cornerback who was trying to run down Zach Miller. Trumaine Johnson runs a 4.440, and he was unable to catch Zach Miller. 4.4 was his best. I'm looking at his times here. Average 4.5. Zach Miller's out running a corner who's running a 4.4, 4.5. I mean, something just doesn't add up there. Huh? Yeah, but that's what happened.
Yeah, I might have an answer for you.
Okay.
You know, there's a how fast you run a 40-yard dash, and then there's actual game day speed.
Right. And
I mean, how bad do you want to get there?
Right.
Right.
If you can figure out what I'm talking about.
Well, I'm also wondering if, you know, a lion's chasing you, you kind of run quicker than your time, right?
Yeah, but I don't think that guy is a lion. Zach Miller was a lion, and that guy really didn't have the heart to chase down a lion and have the stiff arm and be embarrassed by it, right?
All I can tell you is, it's been a long time, maybe ever, never, that we've heard a giddy Cutler, a giddy Cutty after the game.
That was giddy Cutty.
It was a giddy Cutty.
Look, though, his whole – I'll say this, and I'm – you know, look, I am not – have never been a Cutler fan, but I'm watching this guy grow up in one season.
Cut to me, cuz!
It's scary. It's crazy.
Come
I'm
forward.
Saying this, but
let me
literally,
have your hand.
I'm going to tell you right now. I wouldn't want, other than maybe Tom Brady, Jay Cutler. I want Jay Cutler as my quarterback right now.
You started the show, he's number four.
And maybe, well, look, you know, I'm going to still say Cam Newton just because of his enormous size and athletic ability and arm strength and everything else. You know, but Cutler's in the top four in the NFL right now, and he is by far the best quarterback in the NFC North, barring none, and that includes Aaron Rodgers up in Green Bay right now.
Oh, double check is checking it down a little bit too much. Guys, look, here's the one thing. You look at Tom Brady, what he means to his team. You look at Cam Newton, 9-0, Carolina, what he means to the team. Jay Cutler means the same thing to this team. It's scary when you think about it.
It's amazing.
Great. I agree with you, Dan, but one step above that, you got to have a coach they believe in. You got to have a general manager they believe in. And you know, when your players, you start talking about the general manager, got to go to a contract, he's going to try to screw me, the head coach, it's this and that. You got to believe in those two people. And of course, what do you got to have? You got to have a great quarterback.
Which
I'd like to go to a certain point right now about Doug Buffone. Dana, his wife, and I mentioned this, and I'm going to mention it again next week, we're going to be at Gibson's Restaurant on November 24th, which is a Tuesday.
A week from Tuesday.
Gibson's on Rush Street on a Tuesday from 5:30 to 7:30. And with Dana Buffone, Dan and myself, and we're going to be promoting Doug's book, Monster of the Midway. And again, folks, it's a great read. You got the holidays coming up. Please come on out and show up. You know, I don't think there were too many more Bears that ever played and was loved as much as Doug, and he gave his heart. So let's give a little something back to his family and his kids. Again,
absolutely.
Tuesday the 24th, Gibson's, 5:30 to 7:30. Come on over, folks.
Mark Carmen's going to be parking cars free.
He said you would, right, Mark?
I got a special outfit for it, too. The Midwestern, it's going to be an awesome night. And again, a week from Tuesday, Gibson's, 5:30 to 7:30. Midwestern University Eye Institute in Downers Grove is now accepting patients as a full-service clinic. The Eye Institute provides comprehensive eye exams, glasses and contact lenses, eye disease screening and treatment, vision therapy, low vision rehabilitation services, and emergency eye care. It's all at an affordable price. Learn more at MWUclinics.com or call 630-743-4500. That's MWUclinics.com or call 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic, your family's home for health care. Curious if you're looking at number six, Cuddy, a little bit differently. Let's talk about the quarterback. 312-981-7200. News is next on 720 WGN.
Cutler, Langford. Win to run across the 30. Langford now. Into Rams territory. Jeremy Langford. Can he go? Yes, he can. Touchdown, Chicago.
...720 WGN, Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by Chevy Drives, Chicago.com, 312-981-7200. That is the phone line. That is the text line if you'd like to join us. Jay Cutler, an incredible day. Also, an amazing day by our Bears beat reporter. You can read him at WGNradio.com, and of course, you hear him all over the station, and you're going to hear him right now. Adam Hoge down in St. Louis, and I'm looking at your Twitter, Adam Hoge, which is what I like to do before we talk to you, and your last tweet is, if the season ended today, should Jay Cutler be in the Pro Bowl? And I'm guessing you wouldn't put that question up there unless you thought that, indeed, Cuddy does deserve to play in the Pro Bowl. Am I right about that?
Well, I think you're right that I think it's part of something we need to start talking about. Now, I will admit that in the aftermath of this game, I haven't really dived too deep into how he compares with other possibilities and other quarterbacks in the NFC. But I, you know, whether or not it shakes out that way, that he's looking at his second Pro Bowl season, I think we could all agree that right now he's playing at a Pro Bowl level. And I don't know that his overall statistics are going to show that. But as John Fox likes to say, he's not a huge fan of statistics. And for most games, really all the games, except for, you know, a couple throws here and there, he's been really, really good and playing at a high level. And I'll give you one example today, which I found out in the locker room afterward. Remember that third and 10 that Jeremy Langford ran for 11 yards?
Mm-hmm.
That was a check at the line of scrimmage that Jay made from a pass to a run. To check from a pass to a run on a third and 10, that's pretty bold. And that shows you that where his football IQ is at right now and the high intelligence he's showing on the field.
Hey, Adam, I'll take it one step further. And, you know, this is you. It's actually me. Alien didn't jump in my body. Clint Kozlowski. He's the best quarterback in the NFC North right now. And that includes Aaron Rodgers, who has now looked absolutely butt fumble-esque. But what's his name? Sanchez. I mean, three in a row, and the Packers lose today for the first time in 24 years to the Detroit Lions at home. And right now, Cutler is playing at a higher level. Scary.
Yeah, no, and I think that's the key. I mean, people are going to overreact to what you just said there, Kaz. I mean, I think we can all agree that Aaron Rodgers is the better quarterback overall. But right now, the level that they're playing at, that really goes to show you really how well Jay Cutler is playing right now. And let's give Adam Gase a ton of credit, too, because he deserves it. And some of those play calls today, play designs even, they were creative. You know, you look at that, the fourth and one where they flip it out to, you know, I think they released Langford out to the right, and Jay Cutler rolled that way, and he's wide open. You look at the touchdown to Zach Miller, the second one, which was, you know, sort of Tebow-esque in the way they faked it, and it's sort of like that jump pass over the line of scrimmage. So Adam Gase is a big part of this too, and he deserves a lot of credit.
Hey, well, let's – oh, go ahead.
I think the announcer said the Bears currently have 20-plus 10-play drives to lead all NFL teams. Now, that tells you a quarterback's doing a lot of the right things when you can put together that many 10-plus play drives.
Yeah, and you know what they're doing recently, it really – the last five quarters, you look at the fourth quarter in San Diego on Monday, and then in this game, they're finishing drives finally, because that was a huge issue early in the season, and they actually had a lot of red zone problems. This is something we talked about Monday night in San Diego, and they kind of solved that in the second half, really in the fourth quarter against the Chargers, and as soon as they did that, the offense took off, and it continued today against a really good Rams defense. I mean, the Rams looked disastrous on offense today. I don't know what they were doing. The game plan didn't make sense. I don't understand how Todd Gurley can only get 12 carries in a game. But defensively, they're a very good team, and the Bears just beat them up and down the field all day.
And you have to give an awful lot of credit to the offensive line. Cutler was pretty much clean most of the day, I think one sack.
Yeah, they played well again, and I think that's why they're not necessarily in a hurry to get Herodis Grasue out there at center, because they have figured it out with Matt Lawson playing center. It's admittedly, he says this, it's not his most favorite position to play. He would much prefer to be at left guard, and I think eventually they would like to get their rookie back in there and to be able to evaluate him in Herodis Grasue. But look, this offensive line all year, it's been changing. Every single spot on that offensive line has changed since the preseason. That includes Kyle Long going from right guard to right tackle, and he's trying to figure it out. But what matters most is while they're kind of working things out every single week and every single game, for the most part, they're playing pretty well, and that's resulted in some good things offensively, especially recently.
Hey, Langford, I mean, this kid just continues to impress, and really, I mean, Adam, he is a north and south runner, and, you know, fresh young legs and looks explosive and catches the ball exceptionally well out of the backfield. So as much as Matt Forte is a very important part of this offense, this young rookie is making it to where, you know, take your time. You know, get yourself 100%, because this kid, and it's the blitz pickup and his ability to make those reads, Adam, because that is the toughest part for a young player at running back.
Yeah, and that was what really stood out to me when I rewatched the game against the Chargers. He was really good in pass protection, and that's something maybe I underestimated a little bit. But you know what? We talked to his running backs coach at the University of Michigan State right after he was drafted, and even his running backs coach said that wasn't one of his strengths. So it's obviously something that he has worked on and improved. But you know what I liked about what he did today, Jeremy Langford, is, you know, I looked at one point in the game at the box score, and I think he was only averaging like 1.7, 1.9 yards per carry. It wasn't exactly easy for him early on running between the tackles, and that's, you probably give all the credit to the Rams defense for that. That's a tough front seven that he's running against. But when it was all said and done, you know, he got that number all the way up to 3.7 yards per carry, which isn't the greatest number. You usually want to be over four. But considering how tough it was early, for him to get 73 yards on the ground and get that touchdown, I thought it was pretty impressive. It showed patience. And then obviously what he did in the passing game today, when, you know, I don't know if Alshon Jeffrey was 100%, but Jeremy Langford ends up leading the team in targets and receptions, 9 targets, 7 receptions, 109 yards, and that long 83-yard touchdown.
Yeah, Adam, what jumps out at me, and I mean loud and clear, is that what's happening is that the players are buying in to the coaching staff, and the coaching staff is buying into the players. I think you're starting to see that. And I tell you what, after today's game, what I saw going down into St. Louis, going in there, nobody giving you a chance, nobody, and actually putting it to them, having defensive backs now, starting to jump routes. Guys are stepping up to the plate. Houston, We have people buying in to the system. That means buying into the coaches, and then vice versa, the coaches buying into the players. And it's all looks like to me, not unless there's a train wreck coming down the road, these last seven games, we've got a pretty good shot. And if they stay with this theory of buying in each other, we could do some damage.
Yeah, Obi, I think that's a tremendous point, and up there among the biggest, most important developments of the season. Maybe it's even number one, probably right there along with Jay Cutler's play. But there's no question. Let's just put this in perspective. It was a year ago this week when the Bears went up to Green Bay and just got smacked around for four quarters. That game was over before halftime even hit. And that was really when you started to realize that the team had kind of given up on the coaching staff, specifically on the defensive side of the football, and it was all downhill from there. The exact opposite has played out so far through nine games this season. They have managed to somehow only give up one touchdown per game. The defense has only allowed one touchdown per game the last 3 weeks, which is incredible, especially when you consider Pernell McPhee didn't play today. And I had a chance to talk to Jarvis Jenkins after the game, and I sent this in to you guys. I would encourage you guys to play it before the show's over. But there's some great stuff from him talking about how this is working with the defense. And it's right to your point, OB, about how they bought in. He said there's no individuals on this team right now. They're playing as a unit, no matter how much money they're making. He even said that they're playing together. And I think that's shows you how they could come in here to St. Louis today without Pernell McPhee and really other than that first drive, not really skip a beat.
And Adam, again, not to talk in circles here, but boy, after this game and what I saw today and what I've been seeing the last several games, to me, it just jumps right out at me that these kids are buying in. They're buying into the system. They're buying into the team. And it works both ways. If the coaches don't reciprocate and come back and buy into the players, they'll know it. They're smart enough to figure that out. So kudos to John Fox. Kudos to the players, because that's the one difference that I see is the fact they're buying in. They're believing it, and now it's starting to show. Kudos. Great.
The injury report is brought to you by the Rogers Auto Group in the New South Loop. Adam, how did the Bears come out of today? And John Fox said pretty well.
Yeah, John Fox had no injuries. However, there were some bumps and bruises. I saw Kyle Long limping around at one point. I saw Shea McClellan limping around. He didn't necessarily look 100%. Marquise Wilson was limping at one point. So don't be surprised if there's some guys that show up on the injury report this week. However, I did see Zach Miller go in for x-rays after the game. I caught up with him in the locker room, though, and he said that those were negative. So he should be fine there. And by the way, he did confirm, which was what I suspected, watching that play live on his long touchdown catch. He looked up at the scoreboard to see if there was anyone behind him, and that's what allowed him to jump right to the side and avoid that last tackler and get all the way to the end zone.
I can't believe that guys are actually skilled enough to do that. That just seems impossible. Adam, great job by you as per always. We'll be reading you at WGNRadio.com. Curious how good you are before you go. Who was the last Bears tight end to go more than 87 yards in what year? Are you that skilled? Are you that following Twitter? Do you know the answer to this question?
On one play?
Yep. The last time a tight end went... You have to go back to 1999, a Bears tight end went 88 yards. Do you know his name? Because no one on the show remembers him.
Yeah, I was going to say, I couldn't even tell you who the tight end was in 99.
Dick Butkus.
It was not Dick Butkus. Taz, you got a guess?
I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday, Mark.
Hamp?
You told me. I don't even know what his name is.
Executive producer Rick Geezer, no chance. Byron Chamberlain is the answer to that.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. I knew if it wasn't Butkus, it had to be Byron.
Well, it was Chamberlain. I knew Chamberlain.
You can take that to the bank, kid.
From Butkus to Byron to Adam Hoge.
I knew it was Chamberlain of some sort.
Adam, great stuff, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Sorry, Carmen, you just made that name up.
But, He did. There's no way that's legit, right, Adam?
I may have made it up, but I'm pretty certain it's real. All right, see you, Adam.
Great job, Adam.
See ya.
Adam Hoge doing the great job, as per always. All right, 312-981-7200. We'll try to get that sound from Jarvis Jenkins for you coming back. Also, opportunity for you. We do have some open phone lines, 312-981-7200. Who deserves the credit for this Bears turnaround? It is 4-5. Get you excited. 720 WGN.
Hamp, this one's for you.
Hi, I'm Ed Obradovich, and I have a puck in my pants.
I gotta have that on a loop for my cell phone.
That's a new ringtone.
He is Ed Obradovich, and he does have a puck in his pants. Is that right now, Ed? You got a puck in your pants?
You're gonna have. You know where those pucks are gonna wind up?
Where I'll be.
Top of your head. Keep it up. I'll make the threat. It's not a threat. It's just a promise. He's going to get
because
up, take his headset
off. Because you're across the
off.
Table, don't think I can reach and get you.
Believe me, I live in fear of you every moment. There's no doubt about that. It's, even if we're in the same room, if we're in the same building, I'm in slightly in
terror. You scurry off when he walks in and gets him a Diet Coke every Sunday.
When I walk in on my Sundays, the first thing I do is I take my Diet Coke, I put it in the freezer, get it ready for OB, and he comes in. I got it there. So I feel like I'm on the bright side of life. And we go from there. 312.
Don't put his puck in the freezer.
Yes, leave his puck alone because nobody wants a frozen puck.
This is true. 312-981-7200. Tampa OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. I'm Mark Carmen. Take some calls. We have some room for you now. Let's get our guy John in Frankfurt on the program, 720 WGN. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Ed, I just enjoy the heck out of the way you describe the team. I saw a camera shot with Fox looking at Cutler face to face, and he was so lit up. He lit up Cutler with such a smile, like he was proud of him, like a coach should be. And the kid went out and played a great game the whole game. John, and I just thought it was right on target.
Yeah, and you read that correctly. You think Cutler doesn't know that when he sees that right. he doesn't even have to say anything. That facial expression that speaks volumes. And I'm not only Cutler, John, but I'm telling you, and this is my opinion, and I've stated it earlier, this is what's happening. They're buying into this staff. They truly are.
Yeah. Sure.
You can look to try to find, well, why is this guy catching a ball and why? It's a belief. You got 40-some guys. They all got to believe. And that's what I think you're starting to see. And, John, I hope I'm right, because when Denver comes in here, this coming Sunday at noon, I want these kids to be ready and take off after them. Do not play scared to death football. Go after them. Believe in each other, and things can get done.
And a lot of storylines in that game, too, that we'll cover when we come back from the spring.
Yeah, 312-981-7200. Got some room for you. We'll update how the Broncos are doing today. Peyton Manning starting off on the struggle bus. And we'll also hear from Jarvis Jenkins, which Adam talked about as far as how this team has come together. A lot to do in the 5 o'clock hour. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Yes, OB?
Yeah, I was just going to say, for John, that was kind of unique that he noticed that kind of a thing between Cutler and Fox, and not a word was spoken, but the way they looked and handled the situation.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful.
It's been going on for a couple of weeks, too. They've been kind of, what'd you call it earlier today, Hamp, that Cutler at the press conference today, what was he, giddy? It was giddy cutty?
He was a giddy cutty.
It was giddy. He's been giddy.
And a giddy cutty is a great cutty.
There was some giddy cutty and giddy Fox last week in San Diego, too, when they were coming off the field. Those two have definitely found some common ground where I think they both respect each other.
Well,
greatly.
I'll tell you what, before we go to the break,
yeah.
We've had so many coaches here that I don't think they really connected. Or if they did, they connected with one part of the team, but not the whole team. And I think what you're seeing here is that. I think you're seeing offensive, defensively, general manager, everybody, and I think they're all starting to see it, feel it, and believe in it.
News is next, and also to start the 5 o'clock hour, we'll have the drive of the game, Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by Chevy Drives, Chicago.com, 720 WGN.
To the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz.
Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com
on 720 WGN.
Well, that was a very entertaining break. I tried my hardest to get that to be on the air, but it's not going to work out today. I'll do it again next week.
No, you won't.
Always telling
Mark,
us about being stuck in Oakland.
Remember, my job is to protect you, so stop right now.
Okay. There you go.
That was enjoyable. The Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Always stay in a hotel close to your NFL stadium. All right, let's do the drive of the game. Sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. Click PatrickCars.com. Hamp O'Bear, you got the drive of the game.
Drive of the game. Okay, now, remember, the Rams go down and score. Okay, we come back with that amazing play to Zach Miller to score. Then they go ahead and, well, it's 10-10. It's tied up. Now, are we going to faint? Are we going to fade? Well, guess what? Jay Cutler puts together a 12-play, 63-yard touchdown drive at the beginning of the second quarter, and from that moment on, it was game, set, match, ball game over. It was a great drive. That has to be the drive of the game to take the 17-10 lead.
Once again, sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group, and the Bears piled on from there. If you're just joining us, 37-13, the Bears a winner over St. Louis in convincing fashion. Great day for Jay Cutler. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's get in some calls here. Pat is in Fox Lake. He is worried about losing coaches now from this prestigious coaching staff who's got the Bears rolling here, so to speak, at 4-5. Pat, go ahead. You're on 720 WGN.
Yeah, I was just, like I said, it's been way too long since we actually were able to watch a game and see that we outcoached the opposition. And
It has been a long time, Pat.
And Jeff Fisher, I don't know, maybe, you know, in the old 46, he took too many bangs to the head. But when Fold makes Clausen look like Joe Montana, yeah, you should have. Yeah, you should have pulled them. But, yeah, I'm really thinking that we're going to lose both of our coordinators at the end of the year. I mean, what do you guys think?
No. Number one, Gase is still a young guy. And, you know, Cutler is a small sample. And if he can put 2 years together with Jay Cutler, I would think he would be the other guy. But, Ed, you talk about the D coordinator.
Yeah, Fangio, you know, he's been around. And, I mean, he's got a great reputation, especially with the 3-4 defense. And, like, somebody like that, you think he's been around, that he would have gotten the head coach nod somewhere amongst the 32 teams. And my belief, Pat, is that he doesn't want it. He's very comfortable doing what he does, being a defensive coordinator. He's not every day at the microphone as a head coach answering questions about this, about that, and about everything. He's so dedicated to what he does, and my belief is that he does not want to go up to that next level. Because I'll tell you one thing, Pat, I have seen this in my years in football, offensively and defensively, coordinators who have gone up to head coaching jobs, and they have failed and failed miserably. The old Peter principle, you know. So I think Fangio is comfortable in his old skin where he's at, if he's not here with the Bears or wherever he's at. He makes well $1 million. He's probably very, very happy man. Gase, he might get some calls. If things keep going the way they're going, Pat, he might get some calls. I think Fangio would turn it down. Gase might take a look. But I'm thinking more like Glenn. I think he's going to be here at least a couple of years.
You know,
I truly do.
An interesting dark horse candidate off of this team would be Ed Donatell, the defensive backs coach. Now, let me just say this. Part of the reason, and Ed, this kind of works hand in hand. When you say the kids are buying in and the coaches are engaging and everybody's coming yep. together. You know, part of it, hey, when Jared Allen, you know, it is possible to have, you know, addition through subtraction. You know, they got rid of Jared Allen. Basically, he wasn't doing what had to be done. And they basically said, hey, they traded him, get him out of here. Jeremiah Ratliff, you know, he got into the spaceship, but he's summarily dismissed. Even McPhee, all these high dollar players, they're gone. They weren't a part of what happened today. And so the young kids see, hey, it's the system. It's not the high-salaried players that actually make it work. It's us, all of us together. Now, Ed Donatell, think about this. Adrian Amos, here's a rookie, fifth-round draft pick, that has started every game, and nobody has been able to take him to task. The kid has played phenomenally, and just like the name implies, he's a safety. We only bring him up when we are getting killed, you know, cheap and deep, but we haven't. So Ed Donatell, and think about it. Last year we started the season with Jennings and Peanut Tillman about, well, two new corners. Porter's playing great now. We had Ball play an awful lot early till Porter got healthy. Even Kyle Fuller is starting to play like a number one draft pick. So Ed Donatell is another guy that a lot of people may be coming knocking, even if it's not a head coach, maybe a defensive coordinator position.
Well, that's what Fox brings to the table, guys. He can bring these people. They know him. They respect him. And another notch I could say for Fox, guys, is that he came in with a totally new coaching staff, going to put a whole new offensive system and completely new defensive system. I mean by that 3-4 as opposed to a 4-3. He was taking over a totally and completely dysfunctional team. The players were dysfunctional on both sides of the ball. We had no idea where the hell we were going. Here we go. They hire Pace. Pace brings in Fox. Fox brings in the coaches. And after nine games, it really looks like they're buying and believing in the system. And I'm going to tell you what, folks, because you only have 16 games, you better buy into it and you better believe in it, because you don't have the luxury of all kinds of games and all kinds of time. And they've done a good job so far.
Yep.
Let's see if it can keep up.
Hey, you know what, guys? I know this is crazy. We're four and five.
And we're talking like we're going to the Super Bowl,
but wait.
Our arrow is up, but I know, finished yet. I know what you're going with.
But there's 16 teams in the NFC. How many teams have a better record than we do? Just six.
Right.
Just six teams have a better record than the Bears. Yeah, and I can go back to the Detroit loss, the Viking loss, but we still, there's only six teams with a better record.
And
there's six teams that go to the playoffs.
And we get to play two of them still on our schedule, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the key to those losses, some of them miserable, was the fact that Fox and his staff was not going to let these people run and hide or quit. Kudos to John Fox and his staff.
Well, and one of those teams that has a better record is the Atlanta Falcons, sitting at 6-3. They've lost their last two games to Tampa Bay, and on the road at the 49ers, they lost by .17-16. So you're talking about a team trending in the wrong direction. So you never know. Learn how real Chicagoans live the day-to-day struggles and successes with health, fitness, and food. Watch Living Healthy Chicago Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on WGN-TV. Jarvis Jenkins, we will play this coming back, talking about the chemistry that's building on this Bears team.
Wait, before we go, Dan, I just want to mention one thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you people, Dan Hampton is a golf nut. Glenn Kozlowski, two guys that absolutely love the game. I did. I could never play worth a damn, and I really can't play now. But anyhow, Dan, Bob Ochoa and the Glad family out of Tour Edge Golf, you and I are going to go win probably at the end of the season.
Yes.
And they're want to fit you with the clubs and everything. And the people there at Tour Edge, the Glad family and Bob Ochoa, they sell all over the world, those clubs. And they're great, wonderful people, do a lot for charity. God love them. And we'll be seeing you guys in a few weeks.
They got tennis rackets over there?
No, they don't, but they give me a club they might whack you over the head with.
they might get one that's long enough to reach right across this panel and go, kapow!
The Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, the threatening show that it is, presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com. It's on 720 WGN. Jarvis Jenkins with some comments on the Bears' chemistry next.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz.
Presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com
on 720 WGN.
37-13, the powerhouse Bears mauling the St. Louis Rams.
Don't snicker.
I know.
It happened. We watched it.
Hey, we did. And it was great. Truly. And I'm
now think about the Rams. The Rams have beaten Seattle. They beat Arizona. They beat San Francisco. A bunch of teams. Everybody was like, ooh, look out for. And whether they were disengaged or uninterested or what, make an excuse. Put it right here. It doesn't matter. The Bears went in there and mauled them.
Yeah, and they got the Kansas City Chiefs. Or, excuse me, they got the Kansas City Chiefs. They already beat KC. The Chiefs are beating the Bears' next opponent, the Denver Broncos, right now 19-0. They're in the third quarter there. The Broncos on the struggle bus. Let's play Jarvis Jenkins, who's talking about the great Bears chemistry and how it's everybody's pulling on the same rope, the whole deal. So here's Jarvis Jenkins, one of the Bears' defensive linemen. Great job by Adam Gase, too, getting him for under $1 million, taking a shot. And Jarvis Jenkins has been pretty solid.
You're talking about Pace.
Did I say Ryan Pace? What did I say, Adam Gase?
No, you said Adam Gase.
I meant Ryan Pace.
Yeah, I'm here to correct you, Mark.
Hey, guys, and just before you play it, let me just say this. That is the least favorite, most underappreciated position of all defensive linemen, the five technique. I'm just telling you, maybe the nose would be worse, but you know how it is, OB. That five technique, you've got to post the offensive tackle, you'll get doubled, you don't have any chance to really pass rush because you got to stay in there tight. He has done an amazing job for us.
All right, here we go. Jarvis Jenkins, a couple minutes with him.
You always want to start fast, but, you know, at the beginning of the game, you never quite really know how their game plan is going to go until you get a first couple, two series. And it's not an excuse, you know, by starting slow, but, you know, we seen what they was going to do. They're going to keep running this, and we're like, okay, this is what they're going to do. Let's adjust, and let's get this run stopped and just make it happen, and we did that.
So when they have those guys wide open and they get these big 30-yard gains, are you discouraged, or what's the
Not at all, because
it's going to be a long day.
Yeah, not at all, because we knew, like I said, they got those couple big plays, got the guys open, and that's what they wanted to do. They wanted us to get out of our run, being so aggressive on the run. They wanted us to get us out on the pass, and then that's how they got that first touchdown. They got two big plays, then they started running it, getting us off in the inside. So it was like, you know what, don't worry about the play action, just play the run, and then get that done, and then make them one-dimensional. And then, like I said, that's what we did after the first drive.
So what does it say about your defense? 2 weeks in a row now.
We learned how to finish, man, and we're playing for four quarters. You know, after that first drive, we got a little lackadaisical, but at the end of the day, we bowled up and had three or four strong quarters, and we got the job done and kept the offense the ball.
What does it say about your offense that they went right after the Rams pass rushers?
Man, credit to the O-line. You know, talking to Kyle, talking to all those guys, Slauson, man, and I knew the mentality they was going in this game with, as far as, you know, handling those guys. How much praise they got on the defensive line. And, you know, it's kind of disrespect to our offensive line, you know, not thinking that they can bow up to them, and they definitely did that today without a doubt.
This is the first straight game the defense has only allowed one touchdown. What do you credit that to?
Just credit the guys that preparing us, credit Coach Vic Fangio, and just us sticking to our game plan. We don't have any individuals on this team. That's one thing about this defense is, you know, we don't have any individuals, no matter how much money you're making. Guys are just doing their job. And if they have a big play, still doing their job, not trying to do anything to save the defense. And that's what we're doing. We're gelling together, and we're just sticking together. We got guys like Tracy Porter, Antro Roll, getting in our head. If they get a big play, no, it's okay. Let's regroup. Let's keep going, you know, because it's going to come to an end. And that's what they did today after the first drive.
Is that why you can not that you can replace a guy like Pernell McPhee, but when he's not able to go today, is that why you still are able to find success?
Oh, most definitely, because we got guys on our defense that, you know, if we were down a man, you know, we got other guys stepping up, just like when Pernell was down, Willie Young and Lamar Houston being more vocal than we ever had, you know. And then, like I said, when Antrell was out, you know, we had rookies in there, you know, just trying to encourage us. And that's what you need from a young team, guys that are trying to take responsibility of missing another guy and just getting out there and getting the job done. And you can tell we're growing as a defense.
Thanks, Jarvis.
All right,
so there you go, Jarvis Jenkins growing as a defense and one guy stepping up. And today it was Pernell McPhee not playing, Willie Young, who we gave credit to earlier in the game, and you know, Hamp, you mentioned it earlier too. Adrian Amos, that's your fifth round pick. Jeremy Langford's your fourth round pick. We didn't get to see Kevin White because he got hurt.
What about Callahan?
And true, there's.
I'm just saying, everywhere you look, these kids are playing, and those two guards, Vladimir Dukas played right guard, now left, now Omame has been installed as the right guard as a starter, and they handle. Hey guys, Kellogg's brother didn't play. Big deal. They still had four number one draft picks rushing the passer. They didn't do much rushing the passer today. We blocked them.
It's true. I mean, you're talking about a very deep deep Rams team on the defensive line, right? And
give credit. The Bears offensive line, they just continue to get better across the board in every aspect of the game. And even special teams. as goofy as they've been throughout the year, they started to settle down. Now, I didn't have a good day returning punts.
You were terrible.
But besides that, really.
Yeah, third fumble, third strike. I don't know if he's going to make the weekend.
Yeah, well, he's still – he made – but he made two big plays in the last 2 weeks on third downs that – sustained drives. In San Diego, he had the third down catch that ultimately set up the game winner. So
you can't tell
he's
me
doing things well too. We're talking about Mariotti, and so people understand it. Hamp said, "Oh, that looks like Glenn Kozlowski returning."
Got your same number.
Well, they do. You guys are, both incredibly talented special teams guys. Except
is that how you're phrasing it?
Well, you actually had a long career, cuz I don't think Mariani's career is going to be nearly as long.
I don't know. I like him. He's, you know what? He just gets the job done. It's kind of like Miller. He keeps battling and trying to make plays.
Hey, I can say is maybe he was trying to give a little something back to the guy that drafted him. Jeff Fisher drafted him at Tennessee.
You're right.
I feel like there's got to be somebody on some practice squad who can do a better job than he's doing right now, with all due respect to you.
It might be you,
no,
Mark Carmen.
It's not me.
Here, look, when it's all said and done, Ed summed it up best. This team is starting to believe in each other. They believe in the system, and really, Ryan Pace, for a young guy, has a plan, has an idea, is sticking with it, and Dan, you pointed it out, a lot of his draft choices in the first year are out on the field starting and making plays, and that's important.
And Bushrod, another guy making $8 million, can't get back on the field because why?
The young kids are playing.
Leno's playing better.
Right.
The key here, this whole thing happened. George McCaskey let the prior coach go, the coaching staff, everybody go. George took his time, and he went and he found Pace down in New Orleans as a general manager. Then they took their time, found Fox. Fox came in for the interview, said, "I can bring this guy. I can bring Fangio. I can bring Gase. These are the people I can bring with me to build a winning tradition, to build the Bears back up to where they were." I truly believe that's how it happened. And by the way, a lot of people may not like the McCaskies or may not like George, whatever have you. Let me say this. George McCaskey is nobody's fool. Whether you're in management or you're in the front office with the Bears, don't ever try to fool that man. You will catch it right between the eyes.
Trust is everything. It's golden along those lines for your insurance needs. It's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich. JeffVuk.com, serving our area for 37 years. Nationwide is on your side. Jeff,
did you start to sing the song? That was so weak.
Nationwide is on your side. JeffVuk.com. I have a great singing voice, guys. You should respect that. Let's give you an update on what's going on around the NFL coming back. Give you the 5:30 news as well. And we have some room for you. 312-981-7200. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. With you till 6 on 720 WGN.
Here's the fake. Hecker, pump fakes. Throws it back the other way. Incomplete. The Bears were not fooled on that fake, and they'll take over with golden field position. Jeff Fisher rolls the dice, and he comes up empty.
That wasn't just rolling the dice. That was almost like hitting on 19, going for 21. That was so incredibly bad. The Rams were down 2 touchdowns at that point. They tried a fake punt from their own 10-yard line.
It was, well, no, I think it was a 15, but it was 4th and 7, 4th and 8. It really just told you how he felt about his offense and his quarterback that he was trying to extend a drive.
It was, you knew the game was over right then. Oh, my God, you're going fake punt. And, of course, the Bears went on to the 37-13 win. You know what makes Bears fans feel as good or almost as good as the Bears winning? It's Green Bay losing, and even more so, Green Bay losing at home for the first time in 24 years to the Detroit Lions. I want to read you guys something. Rob Domofsky, this guy's covered the Packers forever, and so he's summing up today's game. Listen to what he says here, and it speaks to what you guys were talking about as far as Cutler and Rodgers, which I'm not willing to say that I'd rather have Jay Cutler over Aaron Rodgers.
Right now, I would.
Well, here's what he writes. There's plenty wrong with the Packers' offense, but it starts with the reigning NFL MVP. Rodgers hasn't made the fatal mistake that lesser quarterbacks tend to make when things aren't going well, but on Sunday he was off target, hesitant, and perhaps most shockingly, looked like any average Joe QB until the frantic late-game comeback. How else to explain how the Packers managed just 16 points against the lowly Lions, who came into the game with just one victory and the NFL's 26th ranked defense? Maybe Rodgers is hurt and hasn't told anyone, but he barely resembles the guy who was the best player in the league last season. And that's a guy who's, you know, been around for a long time and is not looking to bury Aaron Rodgers, who he covers on a daily basis. So I think those are, that's pretty interesting coming out of Green Bay. Anyone?
Well, what do you want us to say?
We've say,
been,
say
Hamp's
wild,
been beating that drum for the last, since Cutler got her, what, 7 years? So
well, he
it's come, it's finally happening.
All I can say is, for whatever reason, you can try to dissect it, and we'll talk about it more after next week's win against the Broncos. But
all right,
it'll be very interesting to see these two quarterbacks play once again with all the different change in dynamic that we've seen over the last month. When they when the Packers showed up here in early September to open the season, Aaron Rodgers was at the height of his powers, and Cutler was struggling with an offense without receivers, with an offensive line in chaos. And now, what, 11 weeks later, it's almost like everything's completely reversed. Cutler will have, you know, a lot better feel and be more amply appointed at the receiver position. The offensive line is playing great. It'll be a lot. I think, you know, I think if we've ever had a chance to go up there and beat these bums, this will be the night.
Well, here's what's happened to really Aaron Rodgers, and it's interesting that a guy that's covered the Packers for that long doesn't recognize it. It starts up front. Yeah, it's Aaron Rodgers' fault, but Denver basically destroyed the Packer offensive line, and Rodgers didn't have a lot of time. And since that game, he has what you call happy feet, and his feet are moving, and he is looking to run and get out of the way of pressure or hits instead of looking to throw the ball down the field. And that is the difference. The Bears and their line have solidified and have protected Cutler well. Each and every week they get a little better, and Cutler gets better with them. And so that's the difference.
One thing also, Hamp, you're talking about receivers. Alshon Jeffrey today, he's playing through a groin injury, and he wasn't playing well. I mean, he was out there, but he really wasn't anywhere close to 100%. So he's making it work with Zach Miller. He's finding Jermaine Langford, and it's great play call. But these are the guys that are putting up the points. Not like he's doing it with premium talent. One guy that we didn't give credit to today I thought was phenomenal, Kadeem Carey, backing up Jermaine Langford, ran with a purpose. He ran hard. He picked up key yards at key times. This guy looks very capable as far as coming in and filling a role here.
Well, you've got two young running backs, and you have your premier running back who is injured and has been kind of the face of the franchise, at least from an offensive perspective. But he's at the end of his contract. And so, really, the NFL, it's a business. And you look at these young guys, and if they can continue to progress, and Ed, I don't want to get you upset at me, but hey, this is how it works. Opportunity, guys step up, and you forget what the other guy did because the new guy is getting it done.
Well,
or new guys, I should say, two of them.
You know, you're supposedly a Pop Warner football. You go to high school, you go to college. Maybe some college kids are making money in college. I don't know, but you're not supposed to. But if you get drafted by any one of the 32 teams, and it's something that you wanted since you were, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, and you've done everything that you could to get into the big league, to get in to make some money. Gentlemen, when you have that opportunity, there is no tomorrow. That's what you're there for, okay? And when you get that fill-in role, when you get that chance to make an appearance, to get in, you got to do it right. You got to be there. You got to be ready to go no matter what. That's how I believe it is. You know, and I know there's some other guys because of different attitudes, but I'll tell you what. You get there, you let it all hang out. Short career.
312-981-7200. Yeah, Kadeem Carey not playing scared to death football.
No, he certainly
neither
wasn't.
Neither one
he
of them
wasn't.
Are.
That's
neither
what I'm talking about.
Right.
You go through all this, when you get there and you got a shot, take advantage of it.
Right.
Give it everything you have, because you may never get another chance.
On the football field or anywhere in life.
These two kids are getting it done right now.
That's right. Here's Wayne in Lafayette, Indiana on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hey, guys. How's it going? OB, God bless you, buddy. And Danny, Cos, boy, love you guys big time. Danny, I was thinking of you last couple of weeks ago when the Mississippi Mud got stomped out of them by your Arkansas boys down there. And OB, God bless you. And Big Doug, last time I talked to Big Doug, I asked him, I said, Big Doug, who do you think's closer to Butkus, Nisky or Karras? He said, I don't know about Karras. He said, he's old Nisky. He was right there, buddy, right there.
What's on your mind, Wayne? We appreciate all the compliments.
What I asked you about, aren't we glad that at the trade deadline, Willie Young and Houston didn't get traded because they're starting to come around and they're starting to earn their paycheck now. And do you think by the end of the year, everybody's talking about how all our coaches are going to be breaking up, going to be head coaches and stuff. Well, can you guys talk to the McCaskies and tell them to pony up and get a little extra cash up and make sure these guys don't go anywhere?
I don't really. You know what, Wayne? I'm confident that you'll have this coaching staff intact for at least another year.
I'll bet you that Adam Gase is going to be the head coach of the Detroit Lions. You want to put that on the line?
Sure.
Okay,
what are you putting on the line, though? Does Ed get to bonk you with his new club tour edge?
If that's what you want, then I'll figure out.
I would enjoy it. That would make me laugh. I could promise you I would for sure giggle if that happened to you.
Well, then I'll just work on what I'm coming my way, but that's your payment. I'm telling you right now, that guy is going somewhere. Fangio, I think, is your what
but
you
see,
said.
The end result means that the Bears were highly successful.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We get
to
what
the playoffs.
We want.
Right.
And you know what? You can't stand in a coach's way. If he's going to be coveted, you got to let him go.
You know, jumping into Wayne's question, we talked about Ray Nitschke and Alex Karras. Alex Karras was the defensive tackle. He went to Iowa, and for the Detroit Lions, he was not a big tackle at all, but I'll tell you what, defensively, he had every move in the book. Ray Nitschke, same high school I went to. Ray was 4 years ahead of me at Proviso High School in Maywood. As a matter of fact, he's in the Hall of Fame. In the NFL, the first 50 years of the NFL, he was named the middle linebacker, the best linebacker. And he could really play. He's an old friend. I miss him, too.
Was he nice to you as a young freshman?
He was. Ray was great. He was always great. Again, 4 years ahead of me, but he was one hell of a football player.
Let's get you set up for our next Bears broadcast next, which, of course, is the Bears at home with a huge test with the Denver Broncos coming to Soldier Field. The Broncos still losing. We'll update you on all the scores.
22-0 right now in the third.
And we'll give you the rest of the scores as well coming back. The world-famous WGN Chicago personalized calendars for 2016 are available now in the featured section on WGNradio.com. This year, Chicago is captured in black and white, and it's presented in a special and one-of-a-kind way in the 2016 2K's calendar. This is the eighth year for these highly sought after calendars. It's also the first year it's all black and white, and not only does it feature Chicago landmarks as seen through the lens of our spectacular photographers, but the images are crafted with your name seamlessly blended, and it's pretty cool. You'll enjoy a view of Chicago that will change the way you look at the city forever. These black and white calendars add a whole new level of class and elegance. Give a gift that's completely 100% original, and go to WGNradio.com, scroll down to the features section, that's where you'll find it. Make a purchase of our calendar, and a portion of the proceeds will benefit JDRF. To make 2016 an epic year, you have to start with an epic calendar. The 2K's calendar, available in the feature section at WGNradio.com. Previewing the Broncos, giving you the score, saying goodbye. That's all next, 720 WGN. Words you did not think you would hear today. Willie Young with the pick. Bears 37. The St. Louis Rams 13.
Hey, we got to get some Chicago music in here.
You love Chicago.
You damn right I do. They've had a bazillion hits, and you know, I think I'm right. I still don't think. Oh, right, they're up for the Hall of Fame. I don't know if the final voting in in Cleveland, Ohio.
Right.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they have not been inducted in the Hall of Fame, and I hope the heck they do. I love that group.
I know you do. 25-6-2-4, the whole deal.
Hey, let me.
One after another. Never stop.
Hey, let me give you a little update with the incoming Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning is 5 of 20, 35 yards, 1.8 yard average, zero touchdowns and four interceptions. He's been benched.
It's incredible.
So this is – who's afraid of the Denver Broncos right now? Look, Bear fans, as crazy as all this looks – Bears sitting at 4-5, and every team that's coming into town right now, or the teams that they're looking ahead on their schedule, they're all struggling.
I'll tell you what.
This is a remarkable situation and setup, to say the least.
Next game preview sponsored by Arlington Heights Ford, number one in what matters most, you.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. The next seven games, I mean, the way this thing, and who in the heck ever thought that Green Bay would lose at home to Detroit? Are you? That defies logic, defies defying, or however you want to put it. That's incredible.
And now they have to go to Minnesota next weekend for control of the division. It looks like Minnesota's going to go to 7-3 here, or 7-2.
Well, there's so many things with Peyton Manning, what's happening here. They're coming in us. I think and believe we're on the upswing. And again, folks, I read you that schedule two or three times. I'm going to tell you what. I know it's Denver coming in, and then Thursday night, it's up in Green Bay. But boy, after that, I mean, I think we could run it.
You know
what?
I
really do.
My rookie year, 79, we weren't a good team, but we got in kind of a groove, and I don't know. I think we won the last six games or something to go 10-6 and qualify for the playoffs. That's where we went to Philadelphia and got cheated on a bad call. But like you said, our arrow was pointed up, and we were playing teams that were kind of on the slide.
Who the hell would have ever thought of this after the first three or four games that the Bears were playing? I mean, they were just – and I kept saying that Fox and his staff, they're not going to let these – I know we're losing. I said, but they're not going to let them find a hole to jump into. Thank God they didn't. And look at where we're at now. You talk about what can happen in a 16-game schedule from week to week. This is incredible, folks. I mean, the arrow is pointing bang in the right direction.
A lot of football still ahead. I mean, we'll take it 1 week at a time. But look, looking at Denver 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, thinking, oh, no, we got to have the Broncos come in here, or 6-0. And even Green Bay at that point, they were 5-0. And you're thinking, wow, the Bears, this looks brutal. And then all of a sudden now you've got the Bears and Jay Cutler – and this whole team just playing well, and the team's coming in struggling.
Peyton Manning and Rodgers were throwing the ball over the field, and you think it's going to be the same old thing. They're going to run the table. They're playing great. They're doing wonderful. New England, Tom Brady, I believe they're losing here now. And you know, the same teams are just going to run everything. Not anymore.
The Patriots are losing 23-17, end of the third quarter. The Giants on top, so New England in jeopardy of losing their first game
of
the year.
But they're driving right now with the football.
Long way to go. Vikings are up on the Raiders, 23-14, 2:49 to go in the fourth quarter. Oakland does have the football inside the Vikings' 30-yard line, so it's not quite over yet. Other scores from today: Buccaneers beat the Cowboys 10-6. We mentioned the Chiefs and Broncos 22-0. Tampa Bay
beat the Cowboys.
Yep, 10.
I mean, it's been a weird day in the National Football League, to say the least. And more importantly, it's not so much how many games we won. We've only got five losses. So I mean, you know, when you lose,
everybody's coming back.
Yeah,
right?
Everybody's coming back to the pool. And hey, maybe we can jump over some folks.
Lions, as we've mentioned a bunch today, beat the Packers 18-16. Carolina is 9-0. Go Chico. Ron Rivera 27-10 over the Titans. Cam Newton 21-20.
Best team in football right now.
They really, and Cam Newton's a viable MVP candidate at this point. His numbers don't say it, but the way they're winning and what he's doing, he's right there. Saints and the Redskins, that one goes to Washington 47-14. 14. Dolphins edged the Eagles 20-19. Johnny Manziel started for the Browns. He was okay. Steelers beat him 30-9. Jaguars over the Ravens 22-20. And tonight, Sunday Night Football, is the Seahawks and the Cardinals. And let's see, guys. We've got the Broncos. Yes. Go ahead.
Hey, but guys, you know what? I swear, I am so excited about this game Sunday. Did we think that a month ago? Did
No.
we even envision, you know, having this glow about the Bears? I got to tell you, I'm getting texts from all over the country. Hey, how about the Bears? So, hey,
you know what,
this is
Danny?
A good thing.
I think we did in this room. I think some of us believed in Fox and what
I
he
didn't.
Has done, and
I'm
what
going to be honest,
and what he can do. And it's taken time. And again, I think the key to where we're at is both players buying into the coaches, coaches buying into the players. That's what I totally believe has made this big turnaround.
No doubt about it. And let's wrap it up with this. Put Marconi Giardinera on everything. You know why?
Because it's outstanding, Mark.
That's exactly right. There's nothing better on eggs, on pizza, on subs, sausages, you name it. Marconi Giardinera is on it. One of Chicago's favorite traditions is now my tradition. With over 100 years of experience, Marconi should be the only Giardinera in your kitchen. We want to know where you put your Giardinera. Send us your best pick with hashtag I love Marconi. Have a chance to win a very special Marconi gift package. Marconi Giardinera, available wherever fine foods are sold. Hang on, Ed.
Hold on. You did somewhat of a good job today. Somewhat.
Thank you, OB.
Love you.
I appreciate you. Love you, too. All right. Our last week's winner, we are congratulating at Siobhan Sherrod on Twitter. Siobhan tweeted a picture of loving Marconi on anything that needs to be spiced up. Way to go, at Siobhan Sherrod on Twitter. So once again, send us your pick. I love Marconi hashtag. We will get it. Pick another winner next week. Bears and the Broncos. That is next week.